Dateline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
Catapults of propaganda. The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
From a charming craftsman-style bunker somewhere on the 39th parallel, it's PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and it is a splendid home.
Yes.
We know that for sure. You know what? Today is July the 3rd, and this is actually going to post on Sunday, so we're recording this on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually, if you go back to the old Julian calendar, today is the summer solstice.
Oh.
It's always plus 13 or minus 13, whichever.
So that means this show's going to be really good or really bad.
I think it's going to be great because yes. we've got the best cast in the world.
That's right. Our favorite guy, number one guy.
I know.
Live from sunny Roswell, New Mexico, Guy Malone. Guy, welcome back to PID Radio.
It is good to be back on. I love you guys, too.
You know, we love you. We really do. Is it sunny there, though? I heard
it was sunny most of the day. It's raining now.
Mm-hmm.
The festival started to a big sunny day, the Roswell UFO Festival. I'm sure people are familiar with something going on here. And it's actually, I say sunny Roswell, New Mexico all the time. It came down in buckets at one point today, I heard. We were inside, though. But it's already over and clouds breaking, blah, blah, like that.
But, you know, this year is really kind of, I think, an interesting year. Isn't this the 51st anniversary?
Yeah, number 61.
61st. Oh, 61st. Well, I guess I can't count. Let me go get my abacus.
In the old Julian calendar, it was probably 50.
That's true. Yeah. It was.
Right. 2013. And it's the sizzling hot summer solstice day.
But it's been a long time. Yeah, summer solstice. Boy.
So July 4th, in addition to being the anniversary of the Declaration of the Independence of the United States, is also the anniversary date of the thing that made Roswell famous, the crash.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
Yeah, it's always observed that this festival happens on July 4th weekend. I think most of your scholars of the Roswell incident kind of fall on July 2nd. Some will say 3rd, some will say 4th. But the newspaper report from the Roswell Daily Record went out on July 8th. Roswell Army Airfield captures a flying disc. So how many days after the incident did the newspaper come out is kind of questionable among the learned people like Don Schmidt, Stanton Friedman, Dennis Balthaser, and all those that are famous for investigating the Roswell incident. But I think it's July 2nd, I think, is what they kind of agree on.
Well, hadn't activity kind of led up to that for gosh, like 8-9 months?
The preparation for the festival activity?
No. Actually, I'm talking about in 1947. Weren't there some sightings that go back months before that event?
Oh, yes, you're right. The famous Kenneth Arnold sightings in, Washington State, I believe, Mount Rainier. Rainier, that's where the phrase flying disc or flying saucer was coined.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, 1947 and I think late 46 were kind of heydays or big spikes in UFO activity, that people were seeing them in the sky and reporting them, and they were making headlines all over for the several months before that. So when nobody really knew what they were, what to make of them, just they were being reported left and right. So when the Roswell Daily Record ran the headline, it went global, you know, captures flying disc, Army captures flying disc. They got calls from all over the world, London, people wanting the details on it. And you probably know less than a day later, the retraction about the weather balloon was printed.
Mm-hmm. And people will notice, and I just thought of this now, we've got some audio from ABC Radio from 1947 reporting on the Roswell incident, which people will have heard by the time they hear my voice now, because we're going to put that on the beginning to open the show. The first radio report of the from 1947 of the actual news reportage of the event. And, of course, that started a whole thing rolling, and now it's an annual event in Roswell where people celebrate the event a variety of different ways. And what's really fascinating, and I think you found this guy, which is why you're there, that this isn't just a matter of scientific inquiry. A lot of the people who are there and who are fascinated by what happened in 1947 are looking for spiritual answers. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, definitely. It's a mecca for people that, in one sense, are from a more intellectual, scientific way, looking for truth about the facts of the incident. But on a much larger scale, I'd say on the larger scale, it's just a bunch of people wanting an excuse to go out and dress up silly and act, you know, have some fun, see some fireworks, eat some hot dogs, and get pictures of people looking crazy. But there's a huge element that surrounds the UFO topic and Roswell specifically, of people who are looking for the truth of the universe, meaning of life kind of questions. And whether or not extraterrestrials exist or whether or not they landed or crashed here, if there's proof of that, if you can prove that it's true, then that often affects their worldview of wanting to know man's role in the universe, something that seems insignificant, or that other people think, well, if you can prove that God created life elsewhere, then we're not as special as we think. And a lot of people that are more secular in their thinking will say, well, if life evolved elsewhere, then you see how that the idea of aliens, especially to a more secular mindset or a post-Christian mindset, if there's proof of life elsewhere, they're naturally going to say life evolved elsewhere. Earth is not special. It's, and the universe and life is random evolution as opposed to creation. So this incident, this Roswell incident and the UFO topic, it really becomes much more of a deep spiritual searching for truth about life, the universe, and everything, you know, maybe including God, maybe not. But a lot of people's worldviews actually hinge on the alien topic.
You know, Guy, we have spoken to you before. You've been on PID Radio before, and we will post links to those previous shows. But just for those who are listening right now and have never heard of Guy Malone, can you give us a really quick rundown of where you stand on what these creatures are and how you ended up in Roswell in the first place?
Okay, well, I was born a poor black sharecropper.
Wait a minute. I thought that was Barack Obama.
No, we don't go back that far.
That's the movie The Jerk.
Which we're all old enough to remember. I was kind of an experiencer of childhood stuff myself. Night visitations, some of it pretty horrible. Didn't remember a lot of it till well after teenage years, into my 20s. And the cover of Whitley Strieber's book Communion kind of started jarring my memories of dreams, perhaps, or instances that happened to me in my childhood. And I wrote a bunch about that. I posted an online book, Come Sail Away, UFO Phenomena in the Bible. Years after remembering this, or I'll say when I began remembering it around age 20 and piecing it together, I began to think, well, maybe I've been visited by aliens. I'm one of these people. And the Roper reports now, you know, show like, or CNN polls, there's an estimated 5 to 8 million people in the U.S. who will, who believe they probably had an alien abduction style experience. After becoming a Christian and remembering what the creatures were teaching and doing, and just the way I thought about life, the universe, my worldview completely changed when I became a Christian about spirituality in general. And I realized that what I'd been taught or led to believe from a lot of these experiences, instances, creatures, was what Christians would just call New Age, false doctrines, and occult teachings. That so I knew as a Christian, my experience, I began to had to consider, have I just been in league with demons for half my life? Is that what's really going on here? You know, is it reduced to something that ugly? Because they want you to think that you're special, that you're chosen. If you're an abductee and you have all these horrible things that we associate with the abduction experience happen to you, they kind of brainwash you by saying, oh, but this is for the good of the planet. You're our ambassador. You agreed to do this in a previous life, to go through this experience for the good of mankind. That's very typical teaching in the UFO abduction literature and the field of it that's out there. And after becoming a Christian, I wrote a thesis online, and I lived in Nashville, Tennessee then, about the demonic nature of this whole thing. And that can still be read. People, you know that. And I got so much email from it, it became a full-time missionary journey for me, either replying to the email or press and stuff like that, that I moved to Roswell to get this truth, as I saw it, about the UFO phenomenon not being extraterrestrial, out to the people. And as we've sort of discussed, Roswell is the Mecca where people who are looking for that specific truth are coming. So I figured God wanted me to be here.
Hmm. Now, what kind of people are in Roswell this weekend for the annual UFO festival?
I think the bulk of them, the 80%, are the type I said that are just looking for a good time. They just want some funny pictures. They want to act silly themselves. And then there's people in what we call the UFO community that go to conferences all over the country. It's kind of their community. In the way the Christians would say their local church, or at least their church friends and family, are their community of faith. People that have a strong interest or a lot of knowledge about UFOs tend to go to various conferences. There's pretty close to a dozen of them that are annual events around the country. And they see each other. They run into each other. They reconnect with the community, and they hear the latest findings. They hear the top speakers. That's what's going on in Roswell right now. To where there's both at the UFO Museum and my friend Joe Jordan, that I'm sure you're familiar with. He's the conference organizer on the city's behalf this year.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Pretty interesting, huh?
How did he finagle that?
You probably know that I did it last year after having these Ancient of Days conferences here in Roswell for several years in a row. And Joe was a speaker I brought in a few times, along with guests you've had, Mike Kaiser, David Flynn, Patrick Heron. I don't know if you've had Norm Franz on.
We have not, but we have had Joe on the show.
Yeah, so you know the significance of him being in this.
Yes.
Well, God, because I had a good track record just of producing conferences and then bringing in good secular speakers as well, whose their information was just secular. It wasn't spiritual in nature. It wasn't in general, just government reports and documents. So I'd have Christians and non-Christians on a big panel. You know, they'd hear each other out and have a panel discussion when it was all over. But I guess I had a kind of good track record of producing interesting events. So last year, when the city of Roswell began getting involved in the UFO festival for the first time, I mean, the city as a corporate entity from the mayor's office was sponsoring events and giving up the convention center and paying some of the expenses for celebrities and attractions for people to come to improve the attendance at the festival and to improve Roswell's image worldwide, you know, make it even more high-end profile so that more people would come here throughout the year and during the festival, just, you know, tax dollars revenue. They chose me to put on the conference last year.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? It's kind of like a Daniel or Joseph thing.
It really is. Last year was the 60th anniversary, not the 50th.
Okay. Right, and that's when it got
actually,
a
I'm
ton.
10 years younger than I really am, so.
Okay. That's what's going on
That's
here.
Really what's going on. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I did that one last year with the city's approval, and I brought in a lot of the Christian speakers. But I knew from the city's point of view, I couldn't just put on a Christian event, that whole church state thing. So I just opened the door and let people contact me. So we had a very big complement of Christian speakers last year. This year, Joe Jordan, who's always come to the events, he got connected with the city through some friends of mine here that I'd worked with. And I was offered to do the conference again this year, last August, by from the city, the chairperson of the festival committee. But as you know, from our off-air time, I was married this year. And I told her I'm going to do that Deuteronomy 24:5 thing, take a year off from the battle.
Congratulations, and I think well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's been great as far as us having the time together. Because these conferences, oh, you pull your hair out for 6 months. The phone's always ringing. You're always putting out fires and things like that. So,
and when you have as little hair as you do to start with, that makes
well, true,
it really
true.
Tough.
You can tell I've been doing this for a long
exactly,
time. I pulled
yeah.
it all out.
Oh, gosh. Now, Joe Jordan.
I handed Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe? I was just going to say, for those people who don't know, they're listening to the show, Joe Jordan is a deliverance minister, is he not?
Yeah. He was a kind of New Age MUFON or Mutual UFO Network representative, and he began investigating the abduction accounts. And he eventually came across a case and then many cases where the abductions were stopped in the name of Jesus Christ. And as a researcher, he had to realize the data was showing him that this was a spiritual experience, not an extraterrestrial one. And then he goes on, becomes a Christian, and then teaches other people how to stop the abduction experience in progress, and especially as a life pattern. And he and Chris Ward, a pastor in Florida, and myself formed in 1999 the AlienResistance.org website to combine like my book, Chris's teaching, and Joe's research. We built on that, had the shop in Roswell for a few years. It's not open or it's not active now. But after I did the conference, I recommended to the city the people that I've been working with who lived here, and they allowed Joe, he formed a separate incorporation, and the city gave him money to start off at their recommendation to be the main organizer and select the speakers. So now you have Joe, the deliverance minister, coming in this year at Roswell and giving his talk with Dave Ruffino, and they also have Dave Flynn in this year to really bring some Christian viewpoints to this Mecca where people come to looking for the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
What an amazing story. Boy, the Lord is really opening things up there.
No kidding. And the city council, the people that have to fund the tax dollars and all that, they're down. They kind of, I think, know what Joe is doing and are really happy with it. So he may be doing it in the future as well.
Good, good. Now, we know David Flynn is there, and we look forward to talking with him again soon because we're getting a sneak peek at his forthcoming book, which we won't talk about.
We can't say a word about
it. Can't say a word about it yet, but it is mine.
But to me, you can tell me.
All right, off the air. But it's going to cost you.
No. Okay.
But yeah,
well, we'll
people,
get back to later.
The people in Roswell this weekend for that talk, if he's going to talk about what he's put into his book, are just in for another mind-blowing David Flynn experience.
It doesn't matter what he talks about. Everything he says blows my mind.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Now, who are some of the secular speakers that will be in Roswell this weekend?
At the CE4 conference that Joe's put together, the locals are Dennis Balthaser and Dr. Don Burleson, a PhD MUFON researcher. He's the head of MUFON for New Mexico. John Carpenter is a hypnotherapist, I believe, and abduction researcher. Richard and Karen Dolan. Richard's got the best known, I think, right now book on the reality of UFOs from government reports. And his wife is speaking. They're not Christian speakers, but as secular speakers, it's interesting. His wife is doing a talk on media desensitization of children towards aliens and UFOs, how children are being desensitized by the media to accept this as a good thing. That'd be interesting. Another MUFON speaker, Alejandro Rojas, Chuck Zukowski, and Debbie Ziegelmeyer, they also are pretty well-known for researching the Roswell incident. They've got Peter Robbins, well-known in the UFO field, as an MC and host. Oh, and one guy you would probably love knowing about is Mike Barra, B-A-R-A. He's got a book co-authored with Richard Hoagland called Dark Mission, and it's the occult history. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The occult history of NASA.
I listened to your interview with Mike, and then I described it to Sharon.
So, right.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, very, very interesting stuff.
No doubt. And the UFO Museum, again, is having a lineup of speakers at their location down there. And Stephen Bassett, he's a guy that I brought in a couple times. But they've got Stan Friedman, who's very well known in the field of ufology. You always see him on Discovery Channel or History or something. Daryl Sims, the alien hunter guy. Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, Roswell authors, and quite a few others there. I'm less familiar with their schedule because I've been promoting Joe's conference, of course, because I want people to go see, you know, get the Christian message whacked over the head sooner or later by the time they leave the event.
That's right. Well, Mike's talk was very interesting, and the talk about desensitization through the media not just of children, but of all of us, really, was a topic of last week's discussion we had with Dr. Lynn Marzulli. What do you see coming down the pike, and how is the media and pop culture playing into the public's perception of the existence of extraterrestrials?
I think the cartoons and commercials are loaded with it now. Little friendly, furry, or big-eyed people that are, it's okay, you know, if they come at night, you know, for your kids to go and play with them. That's kind of seems to be, that's something Karen has pointed out very well. It's happening through even Teletubbies and stuff like that. She counts that in there because they land on Earth on an orb of light. And what I've seen in the media, aside from just pop culture, is aside from a billion commercials that have UFOs, like the Energizer Bunny, you know, powering up the UFO, the newspaper reports, it used to be the newspaper and the press seem to have an attitude or a policy of compliance with what we think is the government's wishes to shush UFO reports. They never made headlines. But in the last couple of years, between the Chicago O'Hare sighting and the credible witnesses to there was something to that, that went all over the internet. And what I heard is correct, that news story got more hits on the Chicago Tribune site than any other story in its history. And then the Stephenville, Texas sighting that was down here, witnessed by a police officer, a constable, and a trained pilot. Those guys went on to Larry King Live twice in the same week to discuss it. And all of a sudden, the media is all of a sudden much more open to, and you see it on the internet all the time. Did you know on Google News, you can have email articles sent to you that have a word, like I've got my own name. I just subscribe. If anything is ever in print about God Malone that Google indexes in a newspaper or a magazine, it gets sent to me. Well, I've got entered in for the word UFO as well. And I get like 15 or 20 emails a day from Google about press on UFOs. And that was not the case. Now, some of it honestly is like there's a musical group called UFO. And there's games, electronic gaming called UFO. So it's not all UFO sightings and reports. But the thing is, the media is so much more open now about reporting it, and they don't laugh and giggle at the people so much more anymore. The media is actually seems to have turned around in their policy of their reporting it almost in a way that seems to be desensitizing the adult mind to not think this is ridiculous. You know, as if they're preparing us for something. You know, disclosure, Stephen Bassett and Dr. Stephen Greer's terms.
And the culture, again, we're getting the message from television and movies as well. We talked about the Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Search for a Decent Script. I mean, Temple of the Crystal Skull.
You talked to Mike Heiser about Indiana Jones, haven't you?
I was reading his blog a little earlier, yes. But Stargate SG-1 has been kind of pushing this concept for a long time. We've also seen it in movies in the last 10 years, like Mission to Mars with Gary Sinise. And a number of other films and television shows, The X-Files, right, in which they discover a saucer-shaped craft with the text of all the ancient
world religious texts. This whole idea of Panspermia, and they're coming back.
Right, and the concept of panspermia, of course, has some credibility because with the co-discoverer of DNA, Crick is a
Michael was a
proponent of it.
It leads you to ask the question, I think, you know, does the media produce this stuff because they realize it sells, therefore they produce more of it? Or is there an agenda where they're actually trying to use their influence to push or influence society? And there seems to be, like, there's a lot of evidence and books written in Christian circles about how the secular television and movie media has always been at the edge of forcing things like sexuality and then homosexuality, alternative lifestyles, and, you know, single-parent family, stuff like that. And I don't know if it's just a straight, honest, well, that's what the public wants. I really think I've seen good books and evidence about the media as a whole, not that they're totally controlled by one or two people back in the shadows, But there does seem that the media often has an agenda in what they're producing, because they are driving home what they want normal people to think. And I think the UFO thing has taken a turn in the media in the last 10 years especially, but especially the last 2 years. But they've really been pushing this extraterrestrial contact message.
Oh, you know, I totally agree with you on that. And I think it could be argued that they are doing it as part of an agenda, because if it were simply for ratings, Guy, they would have done it a long time ago, because people eat this up. They've been reading it in the Yellow Journal, you know, mags for years.
Good point.
So the question,
always been an audience.
Oh, yeah.
So the question then is why? And why now?
Well, why now might be more related to the word disclosure, that there's, you know, congressional people trying to lobby Congress to have military personnel relieved of their security oaths to be able to talk openly about UFO sightings or technology. And that might actually be coming on some global, and I mean, I know you're Christian, so we're talking about global conspiracy, New World Order, Book of Revelation, as if it's old hat to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of probably is to us, but being kind of careful for the sake of listeners that really don't have that worldview yet. But I really think there is an Antichrist government, a New World Order, One World Religion forming and getting closer and closer and closer to being reality in the time that we live in now. And I believe that disclosure of aliens as a reality and UFOs is on that globalist government's agenda. Simply because, like I said at the top of the interview, it forces people's worldviews to change drastically upside down. If people believe there's life has evolved elsewhere, that supports evolution, that denies creator. And there seems to be a reason for wanting to have the whole world believe, whether it's true or not. You know, belief is a powerful thing, but that believe that aliens are either visiting or perhaps even an imminent threat to us, that therefore we need to unite as one world government to fight off the threat, or to join up with the good aliens in order to fight the bad aliens. And I think it's all a very conceived, very contrived paradigm that's slowly being pushed onto people.
You know, one of the movies we have recommended over and over, and we'll talk about it probably in another show at length, is the movie Signs. And I don't think it's coincidental that Mel Gibson was involved not just in Signs, which is about an alien invasion, but also in a movie about the Mayan civilization. We are coming up in just a few years on that magical 2012 date. Are they talking about that in Roswell at all right now?
You know, that's kind of David Flynn's personal favorite thing to talk about when he talks, or it's become. He's a real big researcher of some of the things that what we call the occult world considers significant. And, yeah, on when he's here on Saturday, a big part of his talk has to do with Roswell's link to 2012. That's the name of his title. It's the last one, in fact, that Joe, the conference organizer, is going to leave people with. He did that with us on one of our older, you've seen them, the Ancient of Days DVDs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you still have those available?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ancientofdays.net, name your own price, donations basis.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, and also put a link to the article that David wrote, which Tom Horn published at his site.
Yeah.
It's been around a few other places about the Roswell link to 2012.
Right, because the fact is that David's book is no longer in print.
Cydonia.
Right.
The Cydonia one. Mm-hmm. But he's got a new one coming out that's awesome, huh?
Yes,
oh, man.
He does.
Yeah,
been
Tom
reading it.
I was trying to get some from Tom to have down here, because what I know of David is he doesn't work a table all weekend. He doesn't sit at a table, sell his books. You know, he's out cruising. He's going to he's going to different events, and he's not a publicity hound. You know, he's not real egotistical. It's almost, he doesn't want to be treated as someone famous or to be bugged by people. So I was offering, if you've got that book ready, we'll carry it for Dave here at our table. And I don't think it's quite ready yet either, but I'm looking forward to it.
No, Tom told us it's at the printer now. Like I said, we managed to finagle some early copies at, in electronic form that we will not share because we're told not to. So,
okay.
On pain of death.
Yes. But we will put a link to that excellent article on Roswell and 2012, which is mind-blowing. And if we can, because the mathematical connections that he makes and the occult significance and the message that it seems to present to us through these signatures is just, you know, beyond coincidence. The mathematical improbability of these things just being coincidental requires a lot more faith than I have. I am not a good coincidence theorist. Conspiracies, yes. I'll do those all day long, but not coincidences.
Yeah. For people who are more audio-video oriented, I know that that talk is it's being recorded along with PowerPoint. They're going to spend a few months of post-production on the whole DVD series. But since this program gets archived, I'll go ahead and mention the URL is, and it's not mine, I'm not self-promoting, but it's RoswellNMUFOConference.com. That'll have both Joe and Dave Ruffino's talk they're giving in the morning on Sunday, and David Flynn is doing two lectures in the afternoon, and Roswell's link to 2012 is one of them.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I don't know if they set it up to do that this year, and of course this won't go up until Sunday, so it's after the fact, but I wonder if next year if they would simulcast or stream the lectures as they happen. I bet people would pay to see that.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. My program's producer. Did we mention Live from Roswell? I think we did. But,
barely.
Live
but
from
we
Roswell.
Need to,
well, we need it. Live from Roswell. Live
need to mention
from
it again.
Roswell.com.
Yeah. Yeah, livefromroswell.com. I did break into the radio industry, I guess, and podcasting kind of with an interview program. It's going on 2 years. It's well over a year for sure. And it is done live right now on Saturday nights, beginning at 9 p.m. my time in here in the Mountain Time Zone. And the only reason I brought it up is the producer of that show does have the technology to do simulcasts, as long as he's got a good cable connection like the buildings here have. And he was thinking about doing it this year, but his job prohibited him from getting down here to do it. He could have done it last year, but he thought the technology was too new and he didn't want to promise. So maybe next year.
There are some available tools online that can be used for this too. I won't go into that because that's really not germane. But yeah, it would be really fascinating to see that because you're right. I think people would pay a registration fee to help cover the cost of the bandwidth.
Yeah, because not everybody can afford to fly to Roswell to go to these events or drive at these gas prices. But maybe would pay, you know, a certain charge, whatever it happened to be. Yeah.
So. Now, getting back to the spiritual nature of these, and again, we're probably on a 200 or 300 level discussion here, and we will put links to some of the foundational talks that that you have made and to our previous interviews where you go into some of the real basics behind all of this and your research. But I think we're on the same page here when we agree that those beings that have presented themselves to you and others in the past as extraterrestrial are really interdimensional.
Fallen angels.
Fallen angels.
Interdimensional, there you go. To put it 101, but and without using Christianese or to not offend others,
right.
The word interdimensional hypothesis, as opposed to extraterrestrial hypothesis, was, I believe, coined by either Jacques Vallée or Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Neither of them were Christians, but they actually presented before the United Nations in the 70s on the UFO topic, and they were real high-end scientists. One worked for the Air Force's Project Blue Book, which investigated sightings. They both, after years of research, came to the conclusion that this is the idea, and these are massive scientists. They're not Christians. They don't have an axe to grind, but they were the people that the Air Force paid to render results for them. And as long as Hynek worked for the Air Force, he always said, oh, it's things like swamp gas. And, oh, it was the planet Venus that you saw. That would wind up as official reports. The minute he's off the Air Force's payroll, he turns around and opens up a CUFOS, a Center for UFO Studies, saying that the Air Force is lying about all these UFO reports. As soon as he gets off their payroll, man, he turns around and becomes one of the biggest debunkers of the Air Force's cover-up or the Army, U.S. government or whatever. and began serious layperson scientific research organizations. But what he and Vallée both came up with is that the idea that these are nuts and bolts spacecraft from other planets is pretty much ludicrous. And they even would say it fits the age-old demonological phenomena better than anything else. Whatever it is you're calling demons, you may as well call the UFO knots, the exact same thing. Those were coming from secular sources decades ago. And these are the two, like, apostle founding fathers of scientific UFO research. And people today in the UFO field don't even know what they said about it because they don't want to know that. They don't want to hear that it's interdimensional. Interdimensional is a really good word for the spiritual realm from a Christian point of view, you know?
Right, right. And it's a good way to open doors and perhaps discuss this topic with people who don't or have not yet accepted the Christian worldview and the biblical paradigm that we find these in which we find these beings. Now, a question that's been raised, and it's a very basic question, but I'd like to hear your answer, that's been raised with us when we discuss this with people is, okay, if these things really are fallen angels, then why do they need spaceships to travel around?
I actually don't think that they do. In the past, I've answered along the lines of perhaps they don't need them any more than I need a car to go to the corner store and buy a Coke. But for convenience, I might prefer to take my car. I don't need it. There may be some reason along that line. But actually, if angels are what the Bible says they are, they travel instantaneously. They appear and disappear at will. I don't think distance is a thing for them. And if you're really, if they're angels, or we'll say if they're not extraterrestrials, we can rule out the assumption that they're coming from other galaxies. So they don't need spacecrafts to get around in our skies. I think more than anything is that they are somehow, as you see in the book of Enoch that's quoted in the New Testament, it's quoted from, even though it's not considered canon by most people, by most of the church today, but the fallen angels of antiquity, of Noah's time, were giving mankind certain technologies that mankind used for destructive ends, like the making of swords and shields. That's one thing. I think that what's happening with so-called spaceships is the same thing again. The angels don't need them to get around in, but they are giving mankind a type of technology. One, probably because we'll use any technology we get destructively, ultimately. Remember that Albert Einstein quote, "If only I had known what mankind would do with the atom, I would have become a watchmaker instead."
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fallen angels, in concert with the One World Government, possibly heading to Antichrist, they're using spaceships, so-called, as a prop, simply to create a paradigm of thinking among the people of the Earth that aliens are really visiting us from other planets. They don't need them. They probably don't even use them. I think a lot of times they create vast illusions, or really what the Bible calls visions. The experiences are real. And this is actually, like I said, I'm newly married. When you talk to Paradox Brown, she's got a good chunk of her book devoted to how angels create entire scenarios where you think you're in your own reality, but you're not.
Trust
you're not
me,
actually.
I have experienced that. And
you have.
It's frightening.
Really? No,
you know this. Well, it's happened to us twice, and both times the
that's,
entity
oh, that's right, that's
pretends
right, yes.
to be you.
That's right.
Except Derek is in the room as well. So
well,
there are
good.
Two Derek's in the room at the moment.
Yeah, this isn't something we've talked about on PID radio.
No, I won't go into too much of it here because that's not why we're talking to you, but we can talk to you about it later. But I know exactly what she's talking
yeah.
about because it is a reality that is quite disturbing and you're convinced of what's going on.
And you don't know you've left your own reality. You're,
no.
you're enveloped in the Bible, it's a vision. The angels would come, the whole book of Revelation, for instance, Jacob's ladder, for instance, things, Ezekiel's wheel, chapter 1. It's a vision where this amazing thing is happening. It's real to the senses. And especially the way she breaks it down is you think you're in your backyard, but you're not. You're in a holodeck that the angel has created to convince you
mm-hmm.
that you're in your waking reality. And then you see a ship in the sky. Well, that ship is part of the angel's reality that he's created for you as well. Make sense?
It makes perfect sense, yeah.
I think it does to you because you've experienced it too, sounds like. So why do they need spaceships? I really think they don't need them, but they're using them as a prop to change our paradigm into thinking aliens are visiting us.
And the purpose then, again, to create the paradigm for a disbelieving world, that there is no God.
Yeah. And a one-world government.
And a one-world government. But, and also a one-world religion. And this is something that Lynn Marzulli touched on last week. That is prophesied in Revelation. How do you see, then, this UFO end times deception leading to a one-world religion?
There's a couple scenarios that would seem to make it possible. And it's that old phrase, the Hegelian dialectic, where if you want a certain, like right now, on a smaller scale, for instance, people use terrorism and 911. The people that think 911 was a U.S. government sanctioned or something like that act, I'm not saying I agree with that view. I'm saying here's a good example of it. If the U.S. government wanted to disarm its citizens and take away a lot of liberties, well, that would be unacceptable on the surface. No, we have a constitution. Well, if a situation comes along that's horrible enough to suspend the constitution, take away gun rights, take away your right to come and go as you please, make you show your papers, please, as you pass from state to state or get on the airplane, the public will consider the evil that has happened an acceptable reason to give up their rights. The Hegelian dialectic will say that if the people won't give up their rights, either a disaster or an attack happens that makes them, or the power that wants that outcome will create the situation that's bad enough to make the people willing to give up their rights. Again, I'm not saying that's what I believe about 911, but it's been said out there all over. And it's a good example for what I'm saying about the alien phenomena. If we believed we were under attack by aliens from other planets, if an Independence Day scenario started happening, we would most likely band together as a one-world government. The national borders would fall. We'd give up all kinds of probably rights or freedoms or liberties. Our belief systems about life, the cosmos, God, creator, would change drastically, pretty much overnight, the same way we saw in America in 9-1-1. If we believed we were under an alien attack, then the one world government, I think, would come into being very easily or almost overnight. There's a couple of scenarios where that could play out, where if you're a one world global, well, let's say if you're an antichrist, for instance, okay? I don't know if you've ever woke up and thought, what would I do today if I were an antichrist? But if I wanted the whole world to come together, well, I'll just create a situation that's going to require them to come together under me or under one leadership, under one government, one religion, one monetary system. And in this day and age, a belief that aliens are about to attack us would do that. You may have to destroy a few buildings or nuke a few cities or something like that. You may have to have these massive things appearing up in the sky for there to be a problem so gripping, you know, so immediate to people. You know, our skies are filled with UFOs right now. You know, let's all surrender our national sovereignty and join the United Nations or a similar organization that your basic antichrist is at the head of. Sounds a little far-fetched, but
no,
that's...
Actually, it doesn't. You know, one of my theories is that, of course, we all have lots of theories because we don't have a definitive answer until it's already happened and God shows us, this is what I meant. But one of my theories is that the antichrist, if he truly wants to present himself as Christ, he's got to come back in the way that Christ is described as returning, and that is from the sky with his army behind him. All riding white horses.
And perhaps they come to the rescue of humanity just as we're facing what we believe to be
what we're told is Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the good alien, bad alien, good cop, bad cop scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's your Hegelian dialectic, and from that comes the one world religion. And the people, and the disappearance of all the Christians was, well, that was just...
well, we're glad they're gone.
Alien abduction.
alien abduction.
Yeah.
Collateral damage in the alien attack. Yeah.
Well, then you get into the whole rapture, the rapture debate on when. You know, I think if the rapture occurred today, an alien abduction would be the proposed, a mass abduction would be the proposed explanation. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, from the Ancient of Days talk I gave, I was like, let's not let... You know, whether or not the rapture is imminent, you know, pre, mid, or post, define. We can't let everything hinge on when you believe the rapture is going to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, or if the rapture is faked somehow through technology or through a mass angelic abduction of people, you know, how are you going to feel if you're left out? You're going to think the rapture's already happened and you missed it. You know, so that's a whole can of worms. But I really like what you said, Sharon, about the Antichrist faking Jesus' return to save us from an alien invasion and set himself up as Earth's Messiah.
Well, I think that that is essentially what he has to do, because he is claiming to be Christ. Anti doesn't mean just against, as you well know. It also means in place of.
Right on.
Yeah, and it would be so startling that I think a good percentage of the world would see this and trust their own eyes over the dusty, archaic words of men who may or may not have lived 3,500 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And there are New Age, you know, all sorts of religions and New Agers all over the world who are looking for some sort of great avatar to return. And he could just claim to be all of them.
Yeah, that seems to be Maitreya's bag, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you read up on him.
Yeah, I have read up on him. I personally don't think Maitreya exists.
I think he's a Photoshop creation of Benjamin Cream.
Made him up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got the world seemingly waiting for something, and you know, Christians have, you know,
I saw
our
one
hope.
Site today that says it's Paul McCartney.
What?
No kidding. I read a site today. And the guy was saying, in fact, quite a number of people on the forum, and they're probably going to email me if anybody's listening. So I doubt that these people listen to this show. They believe that Paul McCartney died in 1966, and his baby was born the next year, who was his reincarnation, and that baby is going to be the Antichrist.
That is not going to make my top 10 list of who I think the Antichrist is, but I'd
like to know how Sir Paul feels about that right now.
Yeah. I'm quite edified to know that theory is out there too, because it makes mine so much less crazy.
Pretty normal by comparison, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a top 10 list, Guy, who might be on that list?
I don't know for sure. Let's just say I don't have a top 10 list.
I think it's really difficult to put them together because, truthfully, you know, those names have to change almost daily.
Yeah.
The movers and shakers on the world stage of politics doesn't mean that the Antichrist is going to be on that stage right now.
He may just suddenly appear
out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then you just – it's like guessing the rapture, Jesus' return. It's like never set dates or even name names. I think you'll just – you know, the date comes, you remember the book, you know, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is going to happen in 1988.
Yep, I do.
The revised 1989 edition.
Yeah.
No,
I'm actually glad to hear you answer that way, Guy, because my belief is that anyone who claims to know the specific person or a specific date is almost inevitably selling something. And
we know you're not.
Yeah, we know you're not. Or you wouldn't have been giving away copies of Come Sail Away through your website and doing the work you've been doing and putting together the Ancient of Days conferences and selling the DVDs on a name-your-own-price donation basis. So,
you know, you're storing up treasures where it counts, though, Guy.
No, well, thank you. People see me selling stuff at a table sometimes, and they're like, oh, you're in it for the money. I was like, you don't even know. But we do have expenses. Yeah, especially when we travel to conferences. But that name your own price thing, I really struggled with that. It took like a good month to land on that policy because I wanted to, you know, pay for the equipment, pay for the shipping and the copies, and then pay the people that at the time donated their artwork for the covers and the technical person behind it. And they all rejoiced on the name your own price thing, because we were like starting at one price. No, that's just too much. And we cut it down. And you would think that that would be cutting my own, shooting myself in the foot, so to speak. Because believe me, people do, you know, ask for a six DVD set. They give $6 and want us to ship it to Australia, which costs $10 to do. It happens. It really does. But overall, thank God, it was just an inspired way to handle it, because just as often as someone does that, someone comes around and gives us 10 times what it costs to produce, and that makes up for it, you know, and it works out really well.
Well, and we can say that it is well worth whatever people will donate for those sets, because the amount of information that's packed into those DVDs from the Ancient of Days conferences is invaluable, and we consider foundational to what we've been doing. I mean,
we watch them over and over.
Yeah,
and we still
don't get David Flynn, but
we're
trying.
Yeah.
And we think
I tried to play it backwards to see if that helps. And no,
find out what he's really saying.
He keeps saying, "I buried
speech.
Paul."
You're quick.
An exact latitude and longitude that points to... Anyway.
Where to find him.
Yes. So besides livefromroswell.com, Guy, you've got a number of points on the web where people can find out what you're doing and what you're about. Talk about those. Where can people see Guy Malone? And not guymalone.com, because I guess that's some rock band out east, but everywhere else that they can find...
They're not net, actually.
Yes.
It's a tribute band to me. No, you know, actually, I've talked to those guys about how they got their name, and they used to, they would never tell the story, but I finally got them to reveal it. It's not any fun or spectacular story. They just told me how it evolved into that, and it's kind of funny. But alienstranger.com, that's where you want to begin to answer the question, because I started with seeky1.com, which nobody can spell when you say it in a sentence, but it's taken from Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's where my book online is. But then I started doing the resistance site, you know, and then I did this site, did an Ancient of Days conference, and then, you know, I have that whole site on the Roswell UFO crash being a man-made event that really makes me Roswell's favorite child. You know, we're here celebrating the thing, and, you know,
the guy
making
is
you travel.
The conference is telling us it was a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. So, but alienstranger.com has them all listed. And you can just click on one, it opens a new window. You get tired of that one, click on another. Get tired of that one. It's just, you know, hours of reading enjoyment.
And audio enjoyment, too, through from livefromroswell.com.
Yeah, and that's been an interesting door to open, because I had honestly looked into broadcasting, I think, on Live 365 about 3 years ago. And the money they needed for that and the equipment that was needed, I did not own, and I am not a techie. It's like I do good to change a light bulb, and I would rather pay you to do it for me. But the equipment and all that, the expertise was not mine. And then this guy on Secular Paranormal Radio Network, Joe Montaldo, approaches me about doing it. And all I have to do is what I'm doing with you right now, pick up my phone when he calls. And I'm hosting a show, and he archives it and produces it and stuff like that. And he tries to sell commercials. He hasn't gotten real far with that, but I always plug it on the program to pay his costs for hosting it. But it's an interesting mix of people I have on there. Sometimes I have, a lot of the times I have non-Christian people that are interesting. Occasionally it gets really new age and I feel like I should apologize for the program. But as you know, it really is hard to find people that are really interesting, know what they're talking about on a regular ongoing basis.
Right.
But because it's on a paranormal or a secular network, when I do bring in Christians who are interesting and know what they're talking about, the numbers on the thing soar. People listen to it. So it's a really interesting and, I think, you know, we'll see, effective open door for bringing in some of the Christian interviewers that I've done in the past, and then trying to just keep it pretty interesting with the secular people, too.
It is interesting that the people who are into the secular people who are into the UFO phenomenon appear more willing to hear about the Christian perspective on this phenomenon than most Christians
are willing to go the other way and listen to UFO stories.
Good point. It's I think Mike Heiser really has the sentence that best fits that, is that Christians, you would think the people that have a supernatural worldview, turns out they're the least interested in the supernatural.
Yeah.
What I've always said is you know, I think most or many Christians or cultural Christianity out there just wants a 9-to-5 day job, normal life. You know, everything is still pretty rational, although I believe. But my thinking on that is, okay, this whole Christian thing begins by believing a man rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me it's supposed to make more sense from there? That's just the admission ticket. You know, I think Christianity opens us up to an amazingly supernatural, miraculous worldview of how the world is. And God has set up rules like gravity and, you know, you need 8 hours of sleep and take your vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
To where it everything does go along in a normal order that God has set it up, but God is always free to circumvent that order with the miraculous. And there is a dark side. There is fallen angels. There is a demonic realm. And I guess the point of what we're talking about is most Christians seem not the least bit interested in all to know what's going on in the supernatural realm, good or bad.
Very well put. Guy, we're right up against the end of our time, and as always, and it's been far too long since we've done it, it's a fascinating discussion. And we encourage PID radio listeners to tune in on Saturday nights to Guy Malone's program, Live from Roswell. You can listen live online at livefromroswell.com. He's got the links there. You can go back and listen to the archived shows. And many of the guests that you've heard on PID Radio, Guy has also had on his show. We were laughing before we started today about stealing each other's guests. But you'll hear the Collins brothers and Mike Heiser and Tom Horn and others that have been here on PID Radio at livefromroswell.com.
Paradox Brown.
Paradox Brown will be coming soon
we're
to PID Radio. Yeah.
Hey, ask her who she thinks the Antichrist is. She'll actually give you an answer.
She will.
Yeah, but her book is free to read online. No.
Surprise.
Ringo Starr.
Oh, it was right there in front of me. Hold on.
No, but her book is free to read online, too, so it's not that she's necessarily selling the idea.
Now, what's the name of her book?
A Modern Guide to Demons and Fallen Angels.
A Modern Guide to Demons and Fallen Angels. And you'll find a link to that also at Guy's site.
Yeah, actually, you can.
Great.
So, well, Guy, thanks again for being with us tonight on PID Radio. It's always a pleasure.
Right on. God bless you. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Well, don't go anywhere. Hang on, and we'll just close out here.
Yes, and don't forget, you can always stop by our forum, the Piercing the Darkness Forum, to discuss what you've heard tonight or any other ideas that come down the pike that interest you, especially as they pertain to the war going on all around us, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and rulers of the spiritual darkness of this world. And you'll find that link in the show notes at PIDradio.com.
You can also send us an email anytime you want to, at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Understand that if you're writing specifically to me, I'm painfully slow about responding these days. I am busy writing books.
Yep.
And reading them.
And good, because the cliffhanger at the end of Signs and Wonders is killing me. And I don't even know what's going to happen next. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.